So when children or teens are acting out, those are clues to help the adult, the teacher, the counselor understand and find compassion to really ask and say, hey, what's happened to you, instead of, you know, what's wrong with you?
Inform, educate, advocate. This is your source for all things early childhood. From nurturing healthy development to overcoming behavioral challenges and recognizing mental health needs. Welcome to Centering Kids, advice from the experts at the Florida Center for Early Childhood.
Welcome to Centering Kids. I'm your host, Kristen Tyson. And today I have the pleasure of talking with Amy Falk Weinberger. Amy is a community change agent bridging education and mental health wellness. She has taught or mentored over 5,000 students in her 35-plus career. Her passion is to heal education through relationship building, creative conversations, and intentional listening. And Amy is just a joy to be around, and that passion just comes out. So I'm sure you will learn a lot as we talk today. Amy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor.
Well, before we begin, I would just like to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, which is Dunlap and Moran, a local law firm in Sarasota that offers clients a wide array of legal services, including real estate transactions, estate planning, and more. They not only work to solve clients' current needs, but they anticipate future concerns as well. Our listeners can learn more by visiting dunlapmoran.com. All right, so let's jump into today's podcast, where we're talking with Amy, and she is part of the Lean On Me Project, which helps children in the Sarasota County Schools and in other locations as well, I believe. Amy,
yeah.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you into education as a career?
Yeah, sure. So I am an only child, or I was raised as an only child, and one of my big entertainments was entertaining myself. And the way I did that, I would come home after school, and I would set up my dolls on the floor, and I would reteach all the lessons from elementary school. I only did this through elementary school, so you know. And that's how I would relearn, and I always wanted to be a teacher. And once I graduated from college, I was able to go get my teaching certification from Georgia State. And that's just what I've always wanted to do. I love the classroom. I love my students. But, you know, there are different journeys, right? There are barriers that get in the way. So I also have become an educational entrepreneur, which I never ever thought about before, right? Because the journeys change, right? And you have to be flexible and find your pathway.
That's an excellent point, because I think sometimes we start out with one intention in mind and life just takes us on a different direction.
So it does.
I love hearing that you were able to pivot, to use that overused 2020 word. But here it makes sense. And you're able to do so much with your education background and then with the Lean On Me Project. Can you talk a little bit about what that's all about?
Yes. So the Lean On Me Project was an ask. In 2019, maybe 18, a gentleman approached me after a program at the Jewish Federation regarding mental health, One Thing I Wish You Knew. And a gentleman told me his story, and he asked me if we could start a mentoring program in the public school system. And my brain was like, no way. And my mouth was like, that's a great idea, right? So I gathered my resources. I reached out to a colleague of mine, a former student of mine, actually, since she was 8 years old, Jordan Stonecipher. And I asked if she would be interested and becoming a co-founder of what will become, or what did become, the Lean on Me Project. And that Lean on Me Project started at Brookside Middle School, and it was a daily drop-in center for students to be able to either problem solve, get some, kind of revitalize, have some lunch maybe, get some tutoring. And we did this 5 days a week. We did it together with Coastal, and then Coastal became First Stack. And then, of course, COVID hit. So the overall message of the Lean on Me Project has evolved into being able to help heal education at the parent level, the student level, the teacher admin level, and then the community level. And that's where we sit today with the Lean on Me Project.
So when you say heal education, what are you talking about with that phrase?
Yes. So because we have the honor of having different collaborations with and relationships with different principals and assistant principals and school counselors at different elementaries and middles and high, they tell us what's missing from their maybe reach or their access. And then we go in and we work on healing that. So, for example, we asked a bunch of eighth graders how they sleep. And they said they don't sleep so well. They don't, you know, maybe they have a hard time falling asleep. Maybe they wake up in the middle of the night several times. Or maybe it's hard to wake up, you know, from thinking that you had a good night's sleep. So we asked if they would like to have weighted blankets, or if they would try it that in a sound machine. And they all acknowledged yes. So we ordered a bunch of weighted blankets and sound machines and passed them out to a couple handful of eighth graders at Brookside Middle School. And within a week, they were reporting back to us that they were sleeping better. They actually slept through the night. They felt more rested. And so the principal approached us and said, hey, do you think we can do that for all the admin and teachers at Brookside as a going away present? So we said, sure. So we ordered 115 weighted blankets, and we passed them out with, you know, with a poem thanking them for their time this year, et cetera, and a testimonial from another teacher. And we're trying to heal their sleep so that they feel better at school or at work or wherever their place is. And I spoke with someone yesterday, and they thought the gift was lovely. Some are afraid to try it. Others have given it away to their children. And some are just trying it and saying they're really enjoying it. I got a text from someone the other day that said it's changed their sleep life. So that's part of healing education, right?
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like it's recognizing different needs in different educational environments and maybe troubleshooting a little bit to figure out where you might be able to help.
That's right. Look, sleep is a basic need and is the foundation to mental health issues, right? And weight issues and enthusiasm and depression. And the list goes on. So if our bodies are regulating in sleep, just imagine the other things that can regulate during the day when we're awake, right?
Exactly. Yes. You know, that actually reminds me of a lot of things that I've heard regarding children and nutrition. You know, they can't learn when they're hungry. And I feel like it's the same thing when they're tired, that they can't focus and they're irritable. I mean, just like the rest of us, I think.
That's right. That's right. So when we're thinking about healing things, we have to think about the foundations that make us human. And the foundations that make us human include sleep and eating. And eating well, not, you know, drinking 2 liters of Fanta, right? Fanta soda. Or, not having any, you know, greens and fruits and vegetables. I mean, these things really matter. And we kind of underrate them instead of balance them when it comes to education.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I wanted to just back up a little bit to something you mentioned earlier when you said Coastal and First Step. And those are a couple of local organizations that we have in the Sarasota County area, but that would be Coastal Behavioral Health. And then First Step is also in the behavioral health realm and helping with rehabilitations and things like that too, correct?
Yeah, Coastal merged with First Step of Sarasota. So Coastal is no more. And First Step of Sarasota, they merged the whole behavior program from Coastal into First Step.
So if another, you know, if someone listening in a different area wanted to do a program similar to the Lean On Me project, they might look for a partnership like you have embarked on with First Step / you know, previously Coastal.
That's right. So in order for Lean On Me to get into the school systems, you have to have a memo. Well, we have found that having a memo of understanding with an organization that is already pretty well respected and, you know, trusted from a school setting, you know, perspective. And that was First Step. And the Lean On Me project is also a NAMI arm, our National Alliance of Mental Illness, Sarasota Manatee chapter. So we are a nonprofit with NAMI. And so we have an MOU with them. We have an MOU with Florida Center and an MOU with First Step. And the reason we have these MOUs is so that we can deliver, you know, different opportunities to different schools. So for example, the MOU with First Step of Sarasota is so that we can complete our 3-year agreement with Brookside Middle, where we're actually doing funding for the student assistant people, as well as mental health counselors and beautification programs and lunch programs, identity programs, and other sorts of things at Brookside to really change the culture, improve it, and make it really, really quite the middle school. With Florida Center, we are supporting the second mental health counselors at 3 schools. So we might heal education through monetary means, through actual doing, you know, at the school, or in actual programming. So there are different entry points, and that's why you need some MOUs, some memo of understanding.
Got it. And as an educator yourself and having been involved in education and in schools for a number of years, what do you feel like the climate is for children and maybe the expanded need for mental health in this moment?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking. I'd like to answer it, though, differently. I'd like to answer it from the perspective of we adults who aren't managing our mental health well, and that would translate into a classroom or back into work at the administrative level. So by supporting our teachers, our custodials, our lunch people, our admin, and to make sure that they have access to mental health wellness for themselves, that's how we help our students, and that's how we help our parents. So we have to be well also. Now, if I go back to the students, there's so much going on in the world of trauma, and mental health is not new at a school level. It's just being embraced for the first time, seriously embraced. And that's why we have mental health counselors in by First Step, and the Florida Center both have mental health counselors in our elementaries, middles, and high schools.
And I think people would be surprised to know that children in elementary school can have mental health issues and emotional issues and trauma that affects them. So these roles are really critical. And I, for one, am just so grateful that there are groups like the Lean On Me Project and you that are really spearheading the mental health well-being of children in elementary schools and above.
You know, I had an amazing guidance counselor back in the high school days, Miss Anita Richardson, and she was my guidance counselor from 7th grade to 12th grade. She really followed my class. It was quite something. And while mental health wasn't a term back in the day, it was always there, right? Like, behavior is the window into someone's brain, right? How they're feeling. So when children or teens are acting out, those are clues to help the adult, the teacher, the counselor understand and find compassion to really ask and say, hey, what's happened to you instead of, you know, what's wrong with you. So becoming more trauma-informed and really understanding and observing these behaviors allows us into the windows of our children so that we can match help for them where they need it, right? Like, we don't know what goes on after they go home.
Right, that's so true. And I know there's a lot of parents that maybe are struggling to connect with their children. Maybe they have their own issues. Is there any kind of advice you would give to parents or caregivers and how they might be able to better support their children?
I don't know if it's advice. It's a suggestion. If we can slow down and observe our child's behavior and then observe our own behavior reaction, our own reaction to the behavior, stop and pause and create a response instead, that would be an overall culture change in our parenting world, because most of us are reactive. And the one thing I learned in parenting was if I could step back for a moment, unless it's a safety issue, and understand where that behavior is coming from, we could probably get to a different resolution instead of me yelling, instead of the student or the child yelling, right? Or throwing things or all these behaviors that come with frustration. When we can stop, pause, and parent, unless it's a safety issue again, we can have some pretty cool outcomes.
That is definitely a good suggestion, because in this day and age, things just go so quickly. It's like life is moving at such a fast pace. You can't really slow down unless you really make a concerted effort to do that.
That's exactly it. You know, it's the same thing with food. You know, are we enjoying the food we eat, or are we just stuffing our faces, right? So are we listening to our children, or are we just being dismissive? Are we doing mirror reflections, or are we just being, you know, reactive? So look, parenting is the hardest job I ever did. And I've had lots of jobs. And some of us do it without a lot of support, right? And others of us have communities and villages around us. The other book, there is a book that I love, and her name is Joy Thomas. Her name is Joy Thomas Moore, and she wrote the book, The Power of Presence. And you might remember it because it was a community foundation, a Patterson Foundation book. It was part of the Suncoast campaign for grade level reading a couple years ago. And this book, The Power of Presence, was the first time I realized that my mom raised me as a single parent. I didn't notice it before I read that book. And the point of The Power of Presence is to be a voice in your child's ear, even when you're not with them. So we need coaching. And if more parents can reach out and go, I need help, that would also be amazing.
Yes, I agree. And I did actually also read that book, The Power of Presence, and definitely an inspiring story about the fact that you can, you know, as a parent, even if you are facing a lot of obstacles, you know, if you are determined to be there for your child, you can overcome a lot of those challenges.
That's well said. Being determined to be there for your child. And I would add, determined to be there for yourself as well.
Right, right. Because you have to take care of yourself as well as, you know, those around you, just like that mask in the airplane, right?
Yes, yes. Literally and figuratively these days. Yes. And speaking of parents reaching out, the Florida Center offers a really nice connection for those families who have children with fetal alcohol syndrome disorder. You guys offer, I've been asked to come in to a lot of IEP meetings and 504 meetings for these families to sort of reduce the emotion that goes on in trying to create a 504 and IEP so that the schools listen and hear and that the parents feel calmer. So, you know, you guys have done a great job with that, and I really have enjoyed working with your families. I actually have an IEP tomorrow with a family.
Well, I know it is invaluable to have an advocate like you. And with those IEPs, if people aren't familiar, that's the individual education plan for children with exceptional needs or disabilities. And it can be very daunting for, parents to go into these meetings with educators and school professionals and feel like they can advocate for their children's needs. So I know, Amy, you're able to attend some of these meetings and help with that process so that the child and family can get the best outcomes in their educational experience.
Yeah, that's right. And that's part of a Lean on Me project. That's for parents. It is no charge. It's pro bono through the Lean on Me project. You know, if we can help parents have a way of being about going into these meetings so that things get relaxed and we get to yes, then we've made quite an accomplishment, I think.
Well, and I think it's an education process for staff, too, of the schools, because, you know, they are primarily there focused on the academics. And behavior, you know, is part of the school environment, but they may not necessarily understand the full story of a child or family.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there's a whole customer service section, right? Like, we have to be kind to each other. And sometimes the meetings, the families don't always feel like there's kindness across the table. And so my role is to create the kindness bridge so that we can get to yes, and you can expand your lens on how you see this child and the family.
Well, if there's anyone better to bridge the kindness aspect than you, I don't know who they would be. So we appreciate all that you do in our community, Amy.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be able to have the time to do it. It's really been a passion of mine once I sold my company to be able to be part of the community in a myriad of ways that's very helpful and passionate.
Is there anything else before we finish up that you would want to tell our listeners about the Lean on Me project or mental health or anything regarding children and families with might have some special needs?
Yeah, you know, if you live with children who have special needs, and if you are families that also have special needs as adults, there are ways to build a community around your family. There are ways to do wraparounds. And I would encourage you to go to your school counselor or to go to your school principal and ask what resources are available. Matter of fact, we're bringing the Parent Cafe to six schools this year with 10 different of our organizations, the Florida Center being one, so that we can start listening to parents and meet them where they are and ask them what they need or what they're frustrated with or how can we be, you know, useful to them. So we're hoping that that helps, you know, uplift the parent community so that they start feeling supported in some new ways. Asking for help is not a weakness, it's a strength.
Very well said. Yes, that is awesome. And we will put the link to NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and the Lean on Me project in the podcast notes for today's episode. And I just want to say thank you again, Amy, for all that you do, and thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's really just terrific.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. And to all of our listeners, we're glad that you joined us today for another episode of Centering Kids.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Centering Kids. You can visit the Florida Center for Early Childhood online at www.thefloridacenter.org to learn more and subscribe to this podcast. Have comments or suggestions for a show topic? Email us at podcast@thefloridacenter.org. Thanks again for joining us for Centering Kids, where early childhood experts give you tips and tools to help center children, foster their healthy development, and build stronger families.